Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first edition of the Sunday Show. We just started this, and I want to see how it does. And to kick off this show, we're going all the way back to 1776. More specifically, we're going back to 1790s. And an article by Salon, which was posted on March 19th, 2017. Paranoia, conspiracy theory, and a plan to make America great again. The Illuminati Panic of the 1790s. You see, we've talked a lot about the Illuminati. We've also done a lot of research on secret societies and organizations that have tried and have completed an infiltration of our government. Salon is sitting here saying that this is paranoia and conspiracy. But the very fact that they overlook the actual evidence is beyond me. Over the course of the 2016 election, or selection, I and other commentators drew parallels between Trump's conspiratorial ethno-nationalist politics and the brief 1850s emergence of the Know-Nothings, whose American Party briefly eclipsed the Republicans in the rising from the ashes of the dying Whigs. For those of you guys who do not know who the Whigs Party is, let me give you a brief rundown on who they are. The Whig Party was a political party, and it was active during the 19th century in the U.S. Four U.S. presidents belonged to the party while in office. It emerged in the 1830s as the immediate successor to the National Republican and the Anti-Masonic Party. And that's where we're going to go back a little bit further, to the Anti-Masonic Party. Also known as the Anti-Masonic Movement, was the first third party in the U.S. It was the first third party. This isn't just some little tiny group of 10 people that were against Masonry. This is a massive movement. And it was one of the first parties in the U.S., which strongly opposed Freemasonry as a single-issue party and later aspired to become a major party by expanding its platform to take positions on other issues. After the negative views of Freemasonry among a large segment of the public began to wane in the mid-1830s, most members of the Anti-Masonic Party joined the Whigs, the party most in line with its views on other issues. Although lasting only a decade, the Anti-Masonic Party introduced important innovations to U.S. politics, such as nominating conventions and the adoption of party platforms. The Anti-Masonic Party was originally formed in upstate New York around February of 1828. The whole reason it got started was because of an individual named William Morgan, whose disappearance and probable death led to the creation of the Anti-Masonic Party. Morgan claimed to have been made a member of the Masons while living in Canada, and he appears to have briefly attended a lodge in Rochester. In 1825, Morgan received the Royal Arc degree at Leroy's Western Star Chapter No. 33, having declared under oath that he had previously received the 6 degrees which preceded it. Whether he actually received these degrees, and if so, from where, has not been determined for certain. Morgan then attempted unsuccessfully to help establish or visit lodges and chapters in Batavia, but was denied participation in Batavia's Masonic activities by members who were uncertain about Morgan's character and claims to Masonic membership. Angered by the rejection, Morgan announced that he was going to publish an expose titled Illustrations of Masonry, critical of the Freemasons and describing their secret degree ceremonies in detail. And he disappeared. So the Anti-Masonic Party came about. And supposedly, I don't know how in the world this Salon writer, going back to the Salon article now, has said that this is a conspiracy. A man disappeared who was going to expose an organization, and so it started a movement. It started a party. Now, if you go all the way back to George Washington, he was also concerned about the infiltration of the Illuminati, the doctrines of the Illuminati. This is no conspiracy. This is about a takeover. But yet, people like the author, whose name is Paul Rosenberg, on Salon, they don't seem to grasp that there is an elitist organization which is disconnected but yet still connected, that is still, to this day, trying and successfully has infiltrated many, many sections of this government, many sections of the world. They own the banks. We know this. But yet people who study minutely on these sections of history somehow miss it. Somehow these people cannot grasp the reality that there are secret organizations, that there are secret societies, because there's evidence in archaeology everywhere. Oh yeah, but they were just crazy individuals who had nothing to do with the government, even though it was attended by people who were running the government, just like at Bohemian Grove, where they did a mock ritual to an owl figure or to Molech. Yeah. There's no such thing as secret societies. That's crap. The French Revolution had set much of Europe into a panic, and the writings of two authors, John Robinson and Abbé Barruel, promoted a continent-wide hysteria over the notion the revolution had been fostered by a short-lived, extinct organization, the Bavarian Illuminati, 1776 to 1785, and we know that they still exist today. I would refer to today the Illuminati as an organization that is a blanket for many other smaller, disconnected, yet still connected organizations. That's what I said earlier. I didn't explain it, but that's what I mean by that. They call themselves enlightened, or the enlightened ones. Allegedly through a French Masonic lodge, in 1798, President John Adams proclaimed May 9th a national day of solemn humiliation, fasting, and prayer. In response to this nebulous threat, Jedediah Morse, a leading conservative congressionalist minister, preached a scathing against the Bavarian Illuminati in response. In doing so, Morse broke with the traditional Jeremiad formula, with his finger pointing toward an outside source of evil. 2 months later, Timothy Dwight, president of Yale College, echoed Morse's sentiments in his July 4th address, framing the purported issues in Pat Robertson's style, end times terms. Other prominent New England clergymen joined in as well. Morse gave a second major sermon renewing his accusation on Thanksgiving Day, and finally presented purported evidence in his third sermon on the subject on April 25th, 1799. But the complete lack of any evidence soon caught up with him. But there's not really a lack of evidence. There's all sorts of evidence. Just look around. That's what these... I just don't understand how these authors that call themselves journalists can miss this absolute fact. Throughout history, there has always been an organization of supposed elitists that have run things, whether it be in the foreground or in the background. Today, they're in the background. According to Aldous Huxley, world bankers, by pulling a few simple levers that control the flow of money, can make or break entire economies. By controlling press releases of economic strategies that shape national trends, the power elite. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't that just say that there's an organization who controls national trends, who controls the release of economic strategies, who control press releases, who control the flow of money, who can make or break entire economies by just a few words? That to me sounds like there is an elite organization. As he goes on to say, are able to not only tighten their stranglehold on this nation's economic structure, but can extend that control worldwide. Those possessing such power would logically want to remain in the background, invisible to the average citizen. Aldous Huxley. But yet we have authors and supposed journalists that fail to even recognize that this sort of an organization can exist today. When you have Bill Gates, who's going to be the world's first trillionaire, being kicked out of India because of his connections with Big Pharma. Because the trillionaire... Let me read. In the U.S., many look to him as a benevolent humanitarian. The trillionaire humanitarian. How blind do people have to be? simply trying to save the world from communicable disease, but in India, billionaire software guru Bill Gates has basically been told to get the hell out of the country now. That he and his wife Melinda's infamous foundation have been exposed as nothing more than a vaccine-pushing fraud directly tied to Big Pharma. The world's first trillionaire was just called a fraud by the government of India with ties directly to Big Pharma. What else is he pushing? How many organizations... Actually, let's go to South America with the Zika virus that Bill Gates has had a hand in. You can't tell me there's not an elite organization pushing certain things across around the world and spinning it in the press. And certain individuals like George Soros, who can make or break entire economies with just a few words, don't exist. George Soros has publicly stated that on national frickin' television. He can pick up a phone and crash a whole economy. I don't understand how people still call this a conspiracy. It is a reality. See, the CIA created the words conspiracy theory, or created the term conspiracy theory, because the very second someone hears it, they automatically think that someone's just crazy. Oh, that's just a crazy. That's just, no, shut off. It's a mind shut off. But if you can break through that, then you can actually start to awaken people. And the best way, the best way to wake people up is to just keep asking why. Why do you believe that? And just keep tracing it back. And especially with someone who believes in evolution, there's a real easy way. Just ask them a question. And that question is, so your pet and a human being are drowning. Who are you going to save first if you can only get to one? You'd be dumbfounded by the answer. I've been dumbfounded several times by how many people I've seen and had the experience with one, how they answer it. It's incredible. It's shocking to see the disregard for human life that is today, and to see the indoctrination that has gone to the deep, just how deep it's gone, let's put it that way. Okay, moving on. So we've got North Korea conducting high thrust engine tests. Now, North Korea is the bulldog of China. So North Korea is not going to do anything unless China gives the go-ahead, which means that over the Koreas, we could be witnessing a proxy war. And with that proxy war, we could see a full-on World War III with China. And of course, other countries would join in. As to if that's going to take place or not, who knows? We always see North Korea and South Korea and Japan and the U.S. all get very tense around the time that these drills are done. There's always drills this time of year. Always remember that. Here, I'll read you this real quick. U.S. carrier joins South Korea drills. These drills set North Korea off at all. I mean, every year. Just go back and look at the reports from March last year and the year before that, and so on and so forth. The North Korea warns of merciless strikes if its sovereignty is infringed upon. Let's put it that way. But anyways, back to the other North Korean article. North Korea has conducted yet another high thrust engine test. Leader Kim Jong-un declared the test a new birth for North Korea's rocket industry. He said the engine would help North Korea achieve world-class satellite launch capability. The development, not confirmed elsewhere, comes as U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson visits China, Pyongyang's main ally. So as Mr. Tillerson, or Rex Tillerson, is meeting in Asia, we have North Korea conducting more tests. We've just had the tests that were done 200 nautical miles away from Japan. We've had other military tests done by North Korea. And so Tillerson's come out and said that the strategic patience is over. And now we have drills that are still going on. And North Korea is saying, if you infringe upon our sovereignty, we're going to strike. But that strike's not going to happen unless China gives the go-ahead. And if China gives the go-ahead, look out. As we know, the stage is set. It's been set for a long time. Weird geometric patterns were etched into Iceland's largest lake. And of course, the locals are saying it's either aliens or a monster from the sea. Now, what in the world could have created these strange zigzagging patterns? I wish we could see a video. I want to see how far it goes. But this is just weird. So according to the article on RT, it stretches roughly 2 kilometers. Speculation started, and there was no shortage of alternative explanations from alien activity and unknown monsters in the lake to strange conspiracy theories, he said. The mystery has now apparently been solved, however, as experts have come up with a wonderful scientific explanation, because they have one for absolutely everything, for the unusual sight. Scientists are saying the markings are the result of an incredibly rare phenomenon called finger rafting, which occurs when 2 sheets of ice on a body of water push over and under each other alternately, creating what are described as fingers. The natural patterns only occur when both sheets of ice are of roughly the same thickness. Oh, come on. Really? Really? That is the worst scientific explanation ever. Because if you look at this, those are straight right angles, 90-degree angles. I'm pretty positive ice isn't typically, when it breaks off, isn't typically in an exact angle over and over and over again. But yeah, anyways, guys, this is a scientific theory explained as finger painting by water and ice. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Right. Many scientists got an explanation for everything. If you don't know something, it's real simple. Just say, I don't know. It's not that hard. There are plenty of things I don't know. There, I said it. I said it. But I'm telling you the truth. Weird geometric shapes are supposedly, these weird shapes, which look to have pretty perfect right angles, are supposedly fingers caused by ice and ice sheets when they, you know, when they roll together. Finger rafting is what it's officially called. Okay. All right, moving on. Australia's Anglican Church gets 1,115 child abuse complaints. This is terrible. Now, this isn't just this year, okay? Because if there was, it was this year, just this year alone, my goodness. Something had a better change immediately. But these allegations are dating from 1980 to 2015, which is extremely alarming. Still, don't mistake me on that point. But these allegations have been made against approximately 569 churches or church figures, including 247 ordained clergy. The Anglican Church has admitted trying to keep victims quiet to protect its reputation. Now, just last week, we covered what Pope Francis was doing about allegations of child abuse and, of course, other things. And there are several occasions where the Pope has literally turned his back. It's so bad right now that you even have the council, the commission that was specifically designed for this purpose. They quit. The last abuse survivor quit. And she says, the resistance coming from the Vatican is so terrible. I mean, it leaves you sort of speechless. How in the world can there be this big of a problem, but yet people just keep turning their back? Archbishop of Melbourne, Philip Fryer, said he was deeply ashamed of the church's response. Don't be deeply ashamed. Do something about it. Stop turning your back. Stop trying to keep things quiet to protect a reputation and start protecting the children. I wish to express my personal sense of shame and sorrow at the way of survivors' voices were often silenced and apparent interest of the church put first, he said. The Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sex Abuse is also investigating allegations against other religious and non-religious institutions. Last month, more than 4,400 people claimed to have been abused by Australian Catholic Church figures during the same 35-year period. 4,400 people. 1,100 complaints fell on deaf ears. 4,400 people. Now, a lot of people would say it's the Vatican bureaucracy, or in other words, the Vatican elite. I'd have to agree. You see, they think that they're just doing this to cover things up, when really, if we go back throughout history, they have ties to secret organizations. It's got to make you wonder. Global war is approaching, and North Korea has warned, if a single bullet is fired, we will nuke the United States. North Korea has threatened this. This was posted today on shtfplan.com by Mox Slavo. North Korea has threatened repeatedly to attack the U.S., none of which have come to fruition, because China has not given the go-ahead, as I said earlier. But if a single bullet is fired, according to North Korea, they will nuke the U.S. That's not a light threat. This threat here shows that North Korea already has nukes, even though they're supposedly still doing only tests. With tensions heating up on the Korean Peninsula, after North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un fired several tests into Japanese-controlled territory, and following President Trump's deployment of Navy SEALs, whose sole purpose will be to decapitate the leadership of the communist state, Un issued a shocking warning on Sunday. The Korean People's Army will reduce the bases of aggression and provocation to ashes with its invincible Hwasong rockets, tipped with nuclear warheads, and reliably defend the security of the country and its people's happiness in case the U.S. and the South Korean puppet forces fire even a single bullet at the territory of the DPRK. Now, we have Rex Tillerson changing again the stance of the U.S., where the strategic patience is over. How long are we going to have to sit and listen to more threats by the North Korean Chinese regime? Ooh, I added China in there. They've been doing this for years. They've been making these threats for years. Not nuclear, maybe not nuclear, but they've been making threats for years. And again, we're witnessing a lot of propaganda being put out by North Korea to protect its own interests. But the stance of the U.S. is changing. We're in a multipolar world. We'll see what happens. Now, last Sunday, CNN ate a brain. Literally, this guy, Reza Aslam, literally sat with a Hindu cult and ate human brains, okay? Now, on March 19th, this was posted on Monsters and Critics. The same individual takes part in a Haitian voodoo goat slaughter. What draws me to voodoo is that there's no division between the body and spirit. There is no boundary between them, says Reza Aslan of this week's trip to Haiti on CNN's Believer. What in the world is being pushed by CNN? Voodoo? Voodoo. The sacrifice of animals is being pushed on CNN. The eating of human flesh is being pushed on CNN. A battle is raging for the souls of the Haitian people, according to Aslan. Some in Haiti lay blame on a historic blood pact with the devil as the root of all misery on this tiny nation besieged by poverty, disease, and infant mortality rates higher than anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. Now, keep in mind, this guy is a Muslim. Because of this blame game, there is a war between evangelical Christianity and the historical island religion of voodoo. Contrary to popular belief, the Christian warfare against voodoo and hoodoo and witchcraft and all these other pagan crap fests never ended. The war was won by Jesus Christ, but the battle still rages on. Christianity is not a playground. And if we're not careful, many of us will be subverted into paganism, or into Satanism, or into atheism. Because that's what's being pushed by the world. We are in this world, but we're not of it. It is shocking to see this on CNN. This is disgusting. How was this even shown on TV? And this by far explains so much of what we've been covering. We will have cracked the secret of eternal life by 2029, says Google chief. This is not just a Joe Schmo at Google. This is a Google chief. The process of achieving immortality will begin by 2029, when nanobots are created that can swim through our bodies to fight disease, a high-ranking Google executive has said. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the end times. Man is seeking immortality. It is shocking to see what technology has brought us to. Google's director of engineering, Ray Kurzweil, believes that we are a little more than a decade away from taking major steps toward immortality. The tech specialist, who has long supported the notion of immortality, says that medical advancements and improved technology in the coming 12 years will see humans being given and the option to live forever. His words. These are literally his words. Mr. Kurzweil said, "I believe we will reach a point around 2029. Notice this is around the 2030 agenda endpoint, end day. Okay, when medical technologies will add one additional year, every year, to your life expectancy. But that's not for us. Keep in mind, that's not for us. We know the agenda. It's posted all over, especially on the Georgia Guidestones, about how humans need to be depopulated, or how our breath is somehow killing the planet because of CO2. We know the agenda. Don't have children is the agenda. Because they want us to depopulate the planet for them. Vaccines, birth control, abortion. But don't worry, we'll keep you around forever," says the Google chief. He didn't say that, but you get what I'm saying. By that, I don't mean life expectancy based on your birth date, but rather your remaining life expectancy. Now, this is also the same guy that said they're going to create what's called the singularity, where man and machine will fully mix. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a changing world, and this is less than 12 years away. Now, on the exponential timeline, it will most likely happen much sooner than that. Facebook, which is playing a big role in what the Google chief is talking about, is investigating after Christian mom claims page continues to be censored. We're being censored on Facebook so heavily it's not even funny. I don't know how we can have thousands of people who follow us, yet we reach so little compared to what we actually have liked. The same thing goes on Google. But it's not just our channel, it's not just our page. People are being censored everywhere. Some people are being shut down. Their page is being completely deleted. Or even their profiles being deleted. We've reached a day where Jesus is hate speech. And that right there is prophecy. Despite the recent apology made by Facebook for temporarily shutting down a Christian blogger's page, after a discussion on biblical views on homosexuality, Elizabeth Johnston still claims that Facebook continues to censor her page. According to reports, Johnston, who writes The Activist Mommy, told CBN News this week that her fans report they are having problems accessing her Facebook page and sharing or liking her content. You see, it goes beyond the "you're just not seeing it." It's now come down to the reality that you can't even like or share or even see or access the stuff that Christians are posting. This is why in the description box on our YouTube channel, not the description box, but the comment section, there's a comment. There's a little URL. Go click that and sign up for email notifications. But then again, even email's being censored. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who have complained that Gmail is censoring certain reports, and you have to go through all these different folders to find where you're receiving, where these emails are supposed to be. Hang on, I lost myself. Where you were supposed to receive these emails, especially the ones we're sending you. Why? You just got to ask why. Obviously, we know the answer. She recently stated, "People are contacting me saying I cannot access your page at all. My app shuts down when I click on your page." So we have censorship of Christians all over the place. We have witchcraft running rampant and CNN reporting on it. We have North Korea and China aligned ideologically and with the same goal in mind to destroy the U.S. We have strange geometric shapes being drawn on ice in Iceland, on Iceland's largest lake, and apparently science has a great theory about that. And of course, we have an article by Salon that says the same conspiracy has existed since basically the founding of this nation, and of course existed before that. Here's a little factoid. If the same conspiracy has existed for almost 300 years, chances are it's not a frickin' conspiracy. There has to be something to it. And of course, upon investigation, you will find your answer. It's not conspiracy at all. There is an organization hiding in the shadows. I want to thank you all for watching and listening. God bless and carry on.